Amen. We're going to read together these words from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, what we call the Great Commission. Will you read these words with me? Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good evening. My name is Andy Nelms. For those of you who don't know me, I am the campus pastor for One Church. One Church is our church within a church of Acts 2. We meet on Friday nights at this time at 6:30, and normally meet over in the chapel, just the other building right over here. And we want to welcome you, especially if you're a guest with us this evening. We want to say what a blessing it has been to celebrate with your children this week. And I know our children are with us, and we were planning this service and saying, you know, well, what are we going to do with all these kids? And I said, you know, why don't we just keep them in worship with us, and they can worship and hear the word together? And that may have been the best decision or the worst decision. I guess we'll find out together. But this would be really brief, and I want to talk to you a little bit about what we've been talking to our kids about the trust that we have in God and in Christ. For those of you who don't know, we have been talking with our communities actually for the last several weeks about what our children will learn during VBS. And so all the lessons that your children have learned this week, we have learned together as well as an entire community of faith. We've been asking our kids to memorize this verse. Kids, do you remember what you were asked to memorize? Can you say it together? Oh, you're already saying it. Okay, you ready? "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." Awesome. You memorized it. You did so good. We are so proud of you. And yes, that's exactly what we've been learning this week, that when we pass through the waters, when we go through trials, even when we go through the toughest times, we know that God is with us. That's what we've been learning this week. And tonight we come to the Great Commission, this promise that Jesus will always be with us, that we are never called to do anything alone. When I was younger, about 21, I was first appointed as a pastor, and I was the church business administrator for a church down in Oklahoma City. And it was a very historic church called Nichols Hills United Methodist Church, and I loved that church, and I loved the opportunity to get to serve there. And one of my responsibilities as a church business administrator was replacing light bulbs. That was what they tasked me with and said, "You just got to go look around. If you see a light bulb out, you know, you got to replace it," which was easy if it was just like a normal, you know, fluorescent bulb that was in the hallway. It was a little harder whenever it was these bulbs. These are pendulum lights. These are about 15, 20 feet in the air. And so one time, one of these lights went out, and now it was my responsibility to replace them. And I didn't ask anyone to help me because I didn't want to bother them, right? And so I go and I grab the big ladder, you know, not the little ladders, the big one, right? And I just muscle it, you know, down the hallway, and I open it up, you know, and just all the strength that I have, and I open it in the sanctuary, and I shimmy it between the pews, and I take the light bulbs up to the top of this ladder, and now I'm messing with these big pendulum lights, and I'm trying to change the bulb. And so I pull the bulb out, the old one, and I look down and I set it down. And when I look back up, the pendulum light is swinging. But as I'm looking at it, I can't see the horizon. I can't see the ground. So when the pendulum swings, it looks like my ladder is falling away. And in that moment, I thought that was the end for Reverend Andy Nelms. Like I was done at this point. And I'd like to think that if that was the end, you know, I'd go in a really dignified way, you know, like I would just say, "Well, this is it, God, you know, I'm ready, you know, I prayed to Jesus, I've done all." That's not what I did at all. I gave out this shriek in the middle of the sanctuary, like you know, and held on to the ladder for dear life until finally I realized that my ladder was not falling, that the light was simply moving. And I realized that I had put myself in this situation. I had done all of this because I was doing it alone. If you have your sermon notes, I invite you to pull those out. They're in your bulletin. And if you're somebody who likes to write things down, I invite you to do that. Our first blank is simply this, that life is more difficult when we try to do it on our own. Have you found that to be true? Yeah, absolutely. Life is more difficult when we try to do it on our own. But what God has promised is that we will never do anything alone. If we have Christ in our life, we will never do anything alone. That Christ is always there, even if we don't first see him. Back in 2011, Chris Jones, who is a writer for Esquire magazine, went to interview a popular pop icon at Comic-Con down in San Diego. If you don't know, Comic-Con is this wide event that attracts thousands of people to San Diego as they learn about the new comics that are coming out and learn about new pop culture that is coming. And Chris Jones went to interview a certain pop icon, and when he got there, he went into the hotel room, and at that time, the person was pulling out from his closet two costumes and said, "We're going to walk around Comic-Con dressed as Bert and Ernie." And so Chris Jones and this icon walk around Comic-Con for 3 hours. Nobody knows who they are. In fact, several people stop and take pictures of them because they're dressed as Bert and Ernie, right? And finally, a little bit later, Chris Jones, after this entire event is over, Chris Jones tweets out and says, "Hey, if you were at Comic-Con at such and such time in 2011 and you took a picture with Bert, you took a picture with Justin Timberlake." Walked around for 3 hours at Comic-Con dressed as Bert. Nobody knew that he was there. For kids who don't know what Justin Timberlake is, that's Branch. Okay? We've got this, right? Okay. Branch walked around for 3 hours at Comic-Con. No. Okay. People took pictures with Bert. People had no idea that Justin Timberlake was there, that they were so close to him. And the entire time, Chris Jones is like, "Dude, you got to take off your mask. Like, right now, do it." And he's like, No. I want to keep it on the whole time." So he kept it on the whole time. Nobody knew that he was there, that he was with them. Yet that's the promise that Christ has for all of us, that "I will be with you," he says. We come to these words in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, and these words come right after Jesus' death. Now, Jesus has been crucified, he has died and been resurrected, and what we learn about the resurrection is that there are many people who saw the empty tomb. There were many people who saw the tomb that Jesus was supposed to be in, yet he wasn't there. A couple of the people that saw the empty tomb were Mary Magdalene and what Scripture calls the other Mary. Some think that it was Mary, the mother of Jesus. Some think that it was the mother of the disciples, but they're not quite sure. But these two women saw Jesus, or they saw Jesus, and they saw the empty tomb. They saw proof that Jesus had been resurrected, but they weren't the only ones. The other ones that saw Jesus were the guards. The guards had seen the empty tomb. They had witnessed the angels that came and said, "He is not here. He has been risen. He is no longer here." They saw the empty tomb. But not only them, right? The disciples also saw the empty tomb. They also saw the fact that Jesus had been resurrected. The disciples were there, and they actually met Jesus. Yet even though many people saw the empty tomb, many of them reacted in different ways. Some of them chose to believe, and some of them chose to not believe. And we come to this passage here when Jesus gives them the Great Commission. Scripture says that the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Some doubted. Everybody say, "Some doubted." Some doubted. Thanks be to God, some doubted. And that's what we learn this evening, that the community of disciples is not perfect. Right? The disciples, the people who followed Jesus, they were not perfect. And we who are here are not perfect. And if you don't have a church home, maybe you can assume that church people want everybody to get it figured out before they walk in the doors. And what we learn from this is that is absolutely not true. That we all walk in broken. We all walk in not perfect. And openly admitting so. And here these disciples are following Jesus. Some doubted, even though they had seen the empty tomb and they were not perfect. Thanks be to God. Another thing we learn about this passage is that those disciples there, they believed because they experienced the presence of God, not because they saw Jesus, right? Not because they saw Jesus. That there were some here who saw the proof of the resurrection, yet they chose not to believe. Yet those who experienced the presence of Christ, they were the ones who started to believe in Christ. Jesus says these words. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. What that means is this, that there is no greater power than Jesus' power. There is no greater power. So you can imagine like the most powerful thing. Imagine the most powerful thing that you could ever imagine. Okay? Imagine the most powerful thing that you could ever imagine. Maybe it looks like this. Abby-kadabby, right? Abby-kadabby is really powerful. You know, I watch on Sesame Street, she can do like a bunch of different things. You know, But yet Jesus' power is greater than the power of Abby Kadabi. Or maybe you might think of it this way, Jesus' power is greater than this power. Thanos, right? Oh, man, I mean, how powerful is he? He's pretty darn, right? Like, he can just do stuff, and he's got all these armies, and he's really powerful. Jesus' power is greater than Thanos' power. And Jesus' power for adults is greater than any superpower that we could ever imagine, right? Jesus' power is greater than anyone. Any one world leader, Jesus' power is greater than that. Anybody that we could ever imagine, Jesus' power is greater than that. And that is good news. That is good news. And Jesus says these words. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." How many nations? All nations. Jesus says, "Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Go make disciples of all nations. Don't pick and choose. Before Jesus, there was this belief that God had chosen these people. These were the special ones. These were the ones that deserved it, and everyone else didn't. Yet when Jesus came, he said, "Go make disciples of all nations. Go to everyone. Go to everyone, that they are all included now in this great big thing. Go to all nations." Said another way, it looks like this. There is no one Jesus does not want to be in relationship with. So think of those people that are on the outside that you would think, surely they're never allowed in. Surely they're never allowed to be in relationship with Christ. Yes, even them. Even them. Jesus concludes the whole thing and he says, "And teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you." Teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. I think there's something to be said about teaching, right? There's something to be said about teaching. That if we want people to know about Jesus, we have to tell them about Jesus and show them Jesus. It's not just enough to say we believe in Christ. It's not just enough to say we believe in God. We have to show it in our actions and what we do and how we live our lives. This is not a once a week thing. This is an every bit of our lives kind of things. And finally, Jesus says this. He says, "Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." I'm with you always. This is what we've learned throughout VBS, that God promises to be with us, not to save us from tough situations. Even in those tough times, we think God surely has left us, and that's not true at all, that God is with us in those moments. So we have action steps at the end of every week, and this is what I invite you to consider. Just this week, try this. Try believing in Jesus. Believe in Jesus, trust in Jesus' power, and show and tell someone about Jesus this week. That's my hope and my prayer, because God has not left us. Even though we think we are abandoned, God has not left us at all. James Fourier, in his book Extremely Loud, Incredibly Close, tells the story of a young boy named Oscar. Oscar has lost his father in the events of the World Trade Center attacks. And he is now living in light of this terrible event. And as he's trying to understand why all this happens, he finds a clue to a scavenger hunt that his dad left for him before any of the events had ever occurred. And so Extremely Loud, Incredibly Close tells the story of Oscar as he ventures on this scavenger hunt throughout New York City, a 13-year-old boy wandering through the streets of New York City. And he watches as he goes through the scavenger hunt, and he also watches as his mom sinks further and further away from him. To the point that which, when Oscar leaves late at night to walk through the streets of New York City, Oscar's mom asks, "Where are you going?" And he simply says, "Out," which seems to suffice for his mother. And finally, it comes time for Oscar to explain what he's been doing. And he's created this book, this scrapbook of all the events, all the places that he's taken, to strangers' homes, to subway cars, to the worst places ever imaginable in the midst of New York City. He creates this book, and he gets ready to lay it down in front of his mother, but he can't, because his mother pulls out her own scrapbook. And Oscar begins to turn page after page as he sees the same places that he's been. As he sees the same addresses, the same faces, the same names of all the places that he has already been. And he learns that his mother knew about the scavenger hunt long before he did. And she says, "I've called every house before you arrived. And I told them that you were coming so that they would be prepared for you. And I walked every street there at night to make sure that it was safe for you. And I've been all those places before you, even though you thought I was not there." And she smiles at her son as she says, "Did you think I would let you out of my sight? Did you think I would let you out of my sight?" My hope and my prayer for all of us this evening is that we would know that we are in the precious sight of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, thank you so much for this time, for this opportunity to be here to worship you. God, I pray that you would bless us, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Lord, that in these moments we would begin to understand more of your presence, more of your glory, more of your word. Lord, teach us tonight what it is to be a faithful follower of you, of how to fully believe in you, how to show and tell someone about you. Lord, we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, who came and taught us even how to pray by saying these words, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."